Good afternoon. We are with Sheriff Hansel, media star, celebrity non-compare, Billy Hansel. I'm Brian Papstein. For those of you who may not be familiar, I've been doing this radio thing almost 38 years now.
Congratulations,
Brian. Doing this. Well, you know, it's... Hey, you will be on Talk Shop the day after we turn 38.
Wow.
I know. Yes. I don't look like a day over 70, so thank you very much. this is a follow-up to the press conference that happened earlier this afternoon. Billy was part of that, and he's been involved with a lot of this. And primarily, Billy, with what we're looking at, I know there's a lot of terminology issues that are in play, particularly when you get into something that's emotional, and certainly this is emotional as well as logical. So I think from the get-go, what was said, what was determined, what was put into place, or will be put into place, rather, this evening at the stroke of midnight.
So a lot of things are playing into this, right? So everyone's been tracking what's happened in China with the coronavirus and since January. And over the last month, we've seen it spread throughout the world. And that recently, we've seen the infections increase here in California. So following suit, the public health director, Dr. Frankovich, decided today that we could, she instituted an order that essentially requests all residents isolate, shelter in place, and except for doing essential functions such as essential travel, essential business functions, or essential needs, essentially. Essential needs.
So, I'm picking up these are the essentials.
These are the essentials. So all this to say that, you know, we understand the impacts this is all making on people's daily lives, right? So there hasn't been a normal here in the last couple of weeks based upon this national emergency, state emergency, and then this declared local emergency. We see the numbers have gone up as far as deaths go. We have 904 reported state people that tested positive for the coronavirus, and we have 17 deaths here in California. We do not have a reported case of COVID here in Humboldt County. So people say, then why are we going to this extreme? The reason why we're going to this extreme is because we know, based upon our science and evidence, is that asymptomatic people are transmitting this virus all over the world.
And asymptomatic is defined as?
Asymptomatic is meaning there are no symptoms that could be externally present for someone that may have the virus. And the science supports that fact. And since we don't have the ability for mass testing, we don't know how significant the virus here is in our county. There's been a lot of residents, the vulnerable population, the residents that have been over 65 that have sheltered in place for the past week per governor's orders. And that is a good thing. And so this
was it orders or was it recommendation? Because there seems to be terminology starting to kind of get a little
great. Frayed. Yes, thank you very much. That's a very, very good point. So that was essentially a directive from the state, but there is no teeth necessarily behind it. Okay, there wasn't an enforcement piece. It was highly suggested that this happens to prevent the spread of the virus. Now, the public health director has the can and did today create an order that essentially isolates everyone and shelters in place. And a violation of that order is a misdemeanor in the state of California.
One of the questions that people had was with the declaration, state of emergency and then the federal national emergency, the rules changed slightly. Some constitutional rights are adjusted a little bit. Authority shifts a little bit. So the fact that it was a state of emergency and now a recognized one here, does that matter? Does that give any additional authority? Is it a funding mechanism? What is designation means?
Yeah, so that's a good question, Brian. So what that does is there are a couple different things. When we declare a local emergency, what we're doing is we're telling the state that we need assistance in this emergency. What's different about this event was usually the counties declare emergencies first, and then the state, and then the federal government.
Yeah, it goes up.
It goes up in those cases. So we see this like in earthquakes or natural disasters, is we have a localized disaster here, we're overwhelmed, we ask for state assistance, we document our injuries and our damage, we ask for assistance monetarily from the state. The state then declares an emergency, requests a federal designation through the Stafford Act, and the federal government says, yes, we will declare that as a federal emergency. And then there's a trickle-down economic effect that happens. We put in requests to get certain things funded or reimbursed by the state and the federal government. And in a federal declared disaster, oftentimes that takes place. There's some specific rules. As long as you spend money and according to those rules, then the counties can get reimbursed. So this is a unique situation where the state declared first, then the federal government, and then the county. It doesn't negate any of the things that occur in that. We have reached out to the state and asked for things like mobile testing, right? We would like to be able to test within our county. We would like more personal protective equipment. Those are the kind of things and resources that have been requested through the state. And then the state then determines where the biggest need for, you know, some of those state-controlled equipment is needs to be steered. And then they funnel it back through us. The cities, if they make a request to the state, they have to go through the county. So our county OES is a conduit for the cities to obtain that state and federal aid. And so we are working with the cities to try and make sure that their needs are met as well.
So the designation, the formalization of it that happened today, now allows the more local jurisdictions, the cities, to then be able to access and request certain things.
Yeah, so last week is when Dr. Frankovich declared a local emergency through public health. It got ratified on Tuesday by the Board of Supervisors. So the emergency, you know, was declared last week. So that's when we could seek reimbursement. Today is something different. Today is a public health order that puts in place that some very, very structured rules and ordinance that she recommends is for the betterment of public health overall.
So does this have the standing of legal?
Yes,
or
it does.
Or hard recommendation? Or
no, this is...
What is it?
This is she has the authority to do so under the Health and Safety Code. And Health and Safety Code 120295 is the enforcement arm of this. It basically says that the health director can create these orders that are in the best interest of public safety and to ensure the public safety of the community. A violation of that order could be, punishable by, imprisonment in a county jail or a fine.
So with some of that as a backdrop, there was one other component that happened, I guess, yesterday. It came down, you had a press release talking about, okay, we're not going to be able to handle as many people as we have. And we've certainly spent a lot of time in the past talking about the push down from the state.
Yes.
Okay.
Talking about the county jail?
Yeah. So now we've got a self-imposed kind of a push out. Does that put the community at greater risk because of the concern about the health of the inmates? Walk us through that one.
Okay. So when we talk about the jail, there is no other alternative. If someone gets sick in the jail, we have to care for them, and we have to provide aid to them, and so if, as we know, this virus spreads rapidly, a lot of times people that are addicted to drugs and have this kind of lifestyle have a depressed immune system. So if you can imagine, if you have 417 inmates in a jail, and half of them get sick, our community cannot afford 200 people to flood our hospitals and doctor's office
and have the ability to go to the hospitals
Yes,
to have professional medical attention.
There is a medical office within the correctional facility, but it's not a hospital. It's not a hospital setting. So if they are sick and they need hospitalization, they have to go to the hospital and take up a bed. And there's only a limited amount of ICU beds here in Humboldt County. So I'm doing my best to triage to make sure that those inmates are safe. The serious and violent, you know, felons and people in our correctional facility that have been sentenced that need to be away from society, they are still in custody. And then I want the ability to also, when people, you know, there are serious and violent people that get arrested, they do have a space in the facility.
You still want the bad guys.
We do. In. Yes, we do. Yeah. And so.
So, okay, now we've got that backdrop. Let's talk a little bit about some of the changes. Okay. The day-to-day, the hour-to-hour, that kind of stuff. What is the functional change that we're going to experience? We've already had the schools.
Yeah.
We've already had a number of businesses, furlough, layoff, short hour people. Okay. Doesn't seem like there's as much traffic on the road the last couple of days.
Right.
My reference is kind of like a Sunday outside the tourist season. You know, there was business, but there's not as much business. What are we going to see from here?
So what we want people to focus on is number one, what are the essential services? So there's in this order, it does dictate what those essential businesses are. So just to kind of go through those lists, okay, just a little bit so people get an idea of the essential businesses that we would like to see stay open and to make sure that people do have the list is number one in Brian's mind is media. So, yes, we are not allowing...
No, not media.
So media?
Radio.
Radio.
There
I'm sorry. Yeah. Radio.
And I know... Jest, but I do know that radio is one of those, you know, we qualify, we've got all that documentation, you've already shared that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so media do count.
You are an essential business as defined by this ordinance.
Oh, but not you by are, you, thanks.
Not by, I wanted to exclude radio, but okay, I'm just kidding. So grocery stores, obviously, number one on the list, grocery stores, supermarkets, and, you know, neighborhood convenience stores. Those kind of things, pet supplies, hardware stores, those are important to keep open. That's essential. Agriculture, food, beverage, cultivation, processing, distribution, fishing, forestry, livestock, legal cannabis, and other medicine is also included. Businesses such as, you know, warehousing of food, transportation of food and beverage, that's also a vital business. Any business that provides food, shelter, or social services for the necessities of life, for the economic disadvantaged, gas stations, banks, hardware stores, home improvement stores, and then we get to the plumbers and contractors, electricians, exterminators, other service providers who provide services that are necessary to maintain the safety, sanitation, and essential operation of residences. So we're talking about two alarm companies, you know, are covered in that.
Not to be too tongue-in-cheek, but who's left out?
Right.
It seems like everybody, and you could argue.
Yes.
The reason they exist is because they are providing something that's essential. Okay, maybe movie theaters are not.
Movie theaters, certain recreational places, gymnasiums, gyms, you know, hair salons, those kind of things. Bars are not included in this.
Yeah, was it bars, wineries?
Breweries, yes.
That kind of stuff was... excluded, but they were shut down earlier this week.
So that was just an advisory.
That was part of the advisory.
Yes, that was part of the advisory from the governor's office. So this is not an advisory. This is a misdemeanor if you choose to stay open, and so that's why these are not determined essential.
But now for the restaurants,
can continue to operate for carryout. Or curbside or delivery services only. There is no dine-in for restaurants. So that's the order.
So everybody's kind of in that boat. Now, with the grocery stores, we've seen examples locally of limited access, not because the shelves are empty, but limited access. Now, what are their standards, or what should we be expecting if we go to our favorite neighborhood grocery store? You know, the standing in the lines, Only so, one person per aisle?
Yeah. So social distancing is a definitely a part of this order. That's the number one thing, is to keep your distance from others at this time. 6 foot is the buffer that we're suggesting. And so we want to incorporate that, you know, even in the checkout line. I would also highly suggest, number one, you bring your own bags like we've been doing, right? But also bag your own groceries. And just limit those interactions from person to person as much as you can. We'd also, as a part of this order, which I think is good, is a suggestion that all businesses that have these kind of vital services for seniors and the vulnerable population and the people with chronic illnesses, that they open up for a period of time during the day to cater for that specific group. So
yeah, we've seen some folks already saying that.
We have. It's
kind of
really
like senior day.
Concept.
Now
yes.
It'll be like senior hour kind of thing.
It's a good thing. I would highly encourage businesses to do that in the morning and make it the same time every day from 8 to 9, something like that. So seniors can come in and they can shop without feeling the pressure of being around others.
Now, Stefan has had one of Angie's older siblings, mm-hmm. qualifies, has asked, you know, can I have the kid go be my designated shopper? Makes a lot of sense, but obviously that wouldn't qualify for these senior hours or these special set-aside hours. That's for those folks specifically.
Yes, that's for those folks specifically. It doesn't count for the people that are shopping for them. Yeah. So what else? Educational institutions, we don't want to stop the schools from delivering lunches or having lunches for the students that are in their districts.
Now, those are pretty much drive-bys, aren't they?
They're drive-bys, yeah. Drive-bys, walk-ups, those kind of things. So
drive-by probably has a different connotation for you than it does for me.
It does.
But okay.
So obviously medical companies, anything having to do with public safety, veterinarians, pet stores, those are, again, continue to stay open.
So is there a list?
Yes, sir.
For folks to be able to reference to this, or is this a, if you can argue that your business is essential?
No, this is not an argument point. This is okay. Something, I mean, there are some things that are considered other, you know, in those essentials, right?
Some determinant?
Right.
Okay.
And, but in you look at this order, and I think it's a 7 pages, and you'll be able to see in the businesses what they say is essential.
So it's pretty detailed.
It is pretty detailed.
Now, is this locked and cast in concrete, or is this still like a budget? It's kind of evolving, and we'll fine-tune it as we go along.
If there's something that needs to be added, we definitely can do that. If we interpret the other as meaning something, we will put it in the FAQ section of frequently asked questions.
That almost sounds like
section.
You're swearing to
yes,
me.
Sorry. Yes. The frequently asked questions section of this, where this document is held on our website.
On the sheriff's website.
The county website. So we have a designated COVID website. It is humboldt.gov.org/HumboldtHealthAlert.
It's the health alert
yep.
one. Yeah, okay. And that, I'm presuming, is going to be maintained a little bit more steadfastly and regularly than...
It is. We're actually trying to just stay tuned, because as information comes in, we want to focus that health page on health related things. And then as general questions, you know, navigate to other pages, you know, like economic development. There's small businesses now that are forced close. And so there's economic relief for those businesses.
Yeah, SBA has already been
yes.
doing some stuff.
So
yeah.
Economic development, Scott Adair, he's
now,
working on this.
Is that stuff that we need to wait until we get through this thing? Or is this an as the process is occurring?
You know, I think what you can do is look at that and apply now. But the best place to go to is our economic development page. And so there is links on the county website that we can steer people into the right direction.
You mentioned ag is okay.
There
was a joke
okay.
made in the office, and so I'm not taking credit, even though it is bad enough of a pun that I would. Social separation or distancing for your cows, too?
Nope. This is not mad cow disease. Right?
All right. No, that was the last one, wasn't it? Or
yes,
the swine flu
so.
Or yeah,
yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. What kind of timeline are we looking at with this thing, Billy? I know that Fred Van Fleck was in this morning for Eureka City
yeah.
Schools and said they're out at least through April 20. Okay, and he doesn't think that April 20 is going to be a magic number or date either. We hear the baseball... That's kind of up in the air. Is this anything that's in concrete, or is this a starter? What's the perception of the timeline?
So the goal here is to eliminate COVID. That is the goal. And so we see how this works with social distancing, with the current effects now. And we're looking at that curve, right? Flattening the curve is what everyone talks about, right? And I think we all understand that concept now. But we don't know where we are in that curve at any given moment. And so right now, with no reported cases, but we figure it's here somewhere, you know, it's kind of hard to tell where we are on that curve. So so everything is very, very fluid. Right now, this ordinance is good until April 9th. Now, this could be easily renewed by the stroke of a pen by Dr. Frankovich on April 8th. And so we have to be prepared for the long haul, I would say.
Then that's, I suppose, part of the challenge that we're all dealing with is the indeterminate.
Yes.
I mean, we knew it was 6 weeks. Okay, we could work to six weeks. If it was 10 weeks, we could work to 10 weeks. Till further notice.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more challenging as we try to pace out our resources in the business sector or in the home front also.
It's very, very difficult to get a handle on this right now and where this is going, because the concept is that, you know, we obviously we want to protect our people, and you know, Dr. Frankovich stepped up and did what she believes is the right thing, and I back her 110%, that we want to protect our people, and that means isolating right now to prevent the further spread of COVID-19 here in the state.
Now, you have to formalize what she does, right, through the OES?
Her order is stand. This is the law of the land at this point.
Oh, so you don't have to.
I don't have to ratify anything. The state gives her the authority to do this under the health and safety code, and designates me as the sheriff and the chiefs of police to enforce that order. And the health and safety code gives us that direction.
So how do we know what? The numbers right now. What California's got? What is it? 900 and change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's say it's 1,200 in 2 weeks. Over. Is that good enough, or does it have to go down to goose eggs before everybody says okay?
Right. And so right now, you're seeing in China, and this is month four, month four now, that they're finally seeing, you know, cases not popping up, you know, multiplying every day, right?
Or not being reported.
Well, maybe not being
reported. Either way.
Right, true.
But
if
the zero is registered.
If you believe it. So... You know, we'll wait and see. We have no idea, again, where we are with this thing. And yes, we don't have an out date because we don't have a start date. This thing is supposed to double every 4 days is what the multiplier is right now. And but, you know, they also say that after six, seven weeks, then it starts to die off. So
what would you suggest kind of as a walk away? Don't be in crowds.
So the number one thing is social distancing right now. What we want people to do is, number one, is care about your community right now. And that means separate yourself from others, spend time with your family, the people that you live with, create that social distance. Talk to people on the phone. We want people to still stay connected. We want you to check on your neighbors. We want you to take care of your neighbors, your elderly friends, your family, without getting in contact with them. That's the best thing we can do. So we don't want people to be selfish at this time. When we don't want the younger generation to say, you know what, this is just the boomers' issue. It's not our issue. And
that
so,
certainly seems to be how it's interpreted in some areas.
Yes. You know, and so we want them to take it serious here, because it's much bigger than that. And so this is a part of our community, and we want them to not be selfish and think about, you know, this is a short time we're asking people in the grand scheme of things, you know, the next month or two that we are going to be affected. How that is, we don't know yet. This situation is very fluid, and it changes by the day. And so we're asking also that people verify their information and don't just look at social media and say this is fact. We have up-to-date information on our webpage. The CDC, California Department of Public Health, all has pertinent standard information that refer to other sources that you can fact check and verify. Do not believe and share that click that says, I hear that it's being spread in Fortuna right now. You know, don't do it. You know,
you already had to smack some of those down, huh?
It just creates hysteria, and you know, And
well, because there is so much emotion and unknown associated with it.
Right.
Yeah, you probably tend to be more logical than emotional. I know that's how right. I operate, but there are those that are more emotional than logical, and you can see it.
And there's a lot of
keep it normal.
A lot of knee-jerk reactions. I mean, people. Yeah. This is still flu season, so people are experiencing flu-like symptoms, right? And so there's some specific things that people say. Listen, until you get to this threshold in your sickness, don't bother coming into the doctor's office. That's the kind of stuff that public health and the public health nurses can walk people through. A lot of times, if you're healthy enough and just have some of the few symptoms, they're going to ask you to wait it out at home unless you have some breathing issues or those kind of things.
Yeah, the sniffles and sneezes and just right. the normal crud, you know, the humble crud, right?
Okay. Right.
Well, maybe you stay home now instead of sucking it up and going to work.
Right.
Further information, questions, just keep going back to the website for those
keep
updates.
Keep going back to the website. You can also call 441-5000. That's our Joint Information Center's number for general inquiries. I would encourage people, though, to look at our website. There's a lot of great information on there. There's frequently asked questions. There's the full document of the order, and you can read it and understand it.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.